This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, teed up at Landsbrook Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. Landsbrook Golf Club is in Palm Harbor at 4605 Village Center Drive, and the greens roll there just about as well as anywhere in the greater Tampa Bay area these days. That is also why Landsbrook Golf Club of the Florida Golf Trail is hosting the next event on the Todd Wright Tour. The final foursome will be played and determined on the same day as the final four itself. We go in the afternoon. You'll miss no basketball action. We'll have it on in the clubhouse when you come inside afterwards. The final foursome, limited spots remaining. Yes, you can sign up as a foursome, a threesome, a twosome, or just as an individual. But by the time of this podcast next week, I don't know that I'll be able to guarantee that. Go to joebucksfan.com/golf to register right now for one of the few bids remaining in this tournament. Yeah, a lot of basketball elements in this golf event. Good prizes, tons of food, low price. $60 per player gets you a bid in the field. All the details on the final foursome golf tournament that I'm hosting on April 1st at Landsbrook at joebucksfan.com/golf. In the meantime, get out and play Landsbrook Golf Club. Call 727-784-7333. Is that too many threes? 7333. For your tee times, and also you can go online at landsbrook-golf.com. How are you? We didn't do the bonus podcast that we talked about at the end of the last week's. There were some moves, and I thought about it, but there wasn't really that big move. And even as I'm recapping some of the things to talk to you about since the last podcast, have you been a little disappointed in free agency and player movement? I guess we all get our hopes up. It's sort of like a trade deadline thing. It happens in a lot of sports. But let's go over some things that we didn't touch on as of the last podcast, either that are new or different angles. And there still has got to be more to come as it relates to some significant quarterback movement and teams that certainly look like they have a need at the running back position and just don't want to overpay for veterans that are the wrong age with the wrong injury history despite one hell of a resume. So let's go through, first of all, the Seahawks do have a new running back, and it's the fantasy nightmare that is Eddie Lacy. So let's try to just go right into whether or not Eddie Lacy should be on your draft boards now. Because off of his 2015, he shouldn't have been on your draft boards in 2016. I'd still say no. There's weight clauses in his contract. The Seahawks are a football team that still functions pretty good independent of the running game. This might be something to motivate a Thomas Rawls to be better. He wasn't very healthy last year. But to play the part more that the Seahawks want, I'm certain that the Seahawks would love to get big production. I don't mean that in a pun from Eddie Lacy, but nothing I want to put on the draft board yet. Not necessarily sure that this type of deal and him changing teams gets his attention. Don't necessarily think that much is going to change until I see it consistently over, not a full season, but a couple of months. That would give me and a lot of people reason to believe, yeah, this is the player that he could potentially be. I guess it made sense for the Seahawks to do something like this rather than Jamal Charles, rather than Adrian Peterson, and we'll get to Latavius Murray. But no, I'm not someone that puts Eddie Lacy on a draft board yet. I'm someone that if I'm looking at my draft right now, and I've already drafted my top two running backs, my third running back, if I might consider Lacy for a fourth or fifth running back, a guy that I'm not planning to play, but clearly if he can put up a couple of good games and look the part, then you might want to slide him into lineups, but nothing that you want to count on. He's potentially worth a roster spot, maybe as a fourth or fifth running back, in my opinion, at this point. So let's talk about Latavius Murray. He signs with the Minnesota Vikings. Murray was just, it was such an odd case with Murray last year. Back to the beginning of training camp, when Jack Del Rio said he, you know, he had no hesitations on the workload that Murray was going to have. It didn't play out that way. Some of it might have been the coaches deciding they wanted to use Rashard and Washington. Some of it might have been an injury that was limiting Murray, especially the first couple months of the season. Really only one running back in the AFC got in the end zone more than Murray, and that was LeGarrette Blount. But it was just, it was sort of hard to pick the spots where you played Murray. The last couple of months, he was much more steady and worthy of a starting roster spot. I was one of those who owned Murray when he scored the three touchdowns. I believe it was in a game against the Chargers, and I didn't have him in the lineup that night. I think it was a Sunday night game, either a Sunday night game or a Monday night game. I didn't have him in the lineup that night. So it was tough. You know, those are where you kick yourselves over those decisions, but it also shows that the player himself hasn't merited being, you know, a no-brainer starter as long as he's not hurt and as long as he's not on a bye week. I'm still pretty optimistic that Murray can be productive. And as far as going to Minnesota, I don't have many reservations about it. I wouldn't be going after Murray with as your number one running back. He might be more of a running back 2/3. And I'd lean more towards the three. Because of the touchdowns last year and the season he had, I would expect some touchdown regression. At the same time, and this is before the Vikings draft, it's not like they really have anybody else to run the football. So it could work out for Murray. I just wouldn't want to count on him as one of my top two running backs as it stands right now. Let's see. Speaking of running backs, no deal yet for Jamal Charles, no deal yet for Adrian Peterson. Yet there are teams out there like the Raiders, the Giants, and others who sort of look like they need a running back. I'm not buying into that the Raiders feel that Washington or Rashard can be a lead type back. Same with Perkins in New York after they parted ways with Rashad Jennings. Peterson and Charles will end up somewhere when their price tag comes down, or even after the draft. Because let's face it, you can draft a running back as early as an Ezekiel Elliott, or in the day two, second and third round, or in rounds 4 through 7, they come in, they dazzle you, they have a good camp, they have a couple good preseason games, and you stick them in there on opening day and see what they do, and you see what you get. That doesn't help you on many draft boards, but it's those type guys that we jump on early on waiver wires in the season, hoping to grab guys like that that take over a role and then they hold it very consistently. You know, Rex Burkhead changing teams. At this point, any skill position player that ends up on the New England Patriots is someone you suddenly want to put on your draft board. Not as a lead type guy. Burkhead's not that. But that could be someone that you see as how his role's ultimately going to play out in New England. Sometimes playing New England offensive players is hit and miss because you're not really sure from game to game how New England is going to utilize certain guys. I picked up Malcolm Mitchell at the end of the season. It was tough to know, all right, is this a week I play him or is this a week I don't play him? Same with guys like James White. So Burkhead is now in that mix. It's not someone that you can count on, but it might be someone worth having on a roster. As we've said, and as all of you know, one of the keys to being successful in fantasy football is having options, and where sometimes it's less about a player option and more about what offense is he in. If you have, I'll take that guy on the Packers. I'll take that guy on the Patriots. I'll take that guy on the Saints. And it can work out for you. It's an option for you because of the way those teams put points on the board and the way that the quarterbacks on those teams spread the ball around. Speaking of the Patriots, with Brandon Cooks. All right. No, I don't think Brandon Cooks is someone that I'm going to be putting on the top line at the wide receiver position. Now, I said on last week's podcast that as it related to Brandon Cooks, you had to remember you're pulling Brandon Cooks out of an offense where Drew Brees gets him the football. And Drew Brees doesn't come with him. Well, now Tom Brady is the one throwing him the football. So that alleviates that concern. At the same time, Tom Brady is a guy who's going to move the ball around as well. And Cooks might be in a similar, not identical situation in New England as he was in New Orleans, especially if there's a healthy Gronkowski. And now you have Dwayne Allen in the mix. Brady clearly likes throwing the backs out of the backfield as well. Malcolm Mitchell was a good player, and with a good offseason and a good camp, I would expect that Malcolm Mitchell is still going to see his share of balls and Chris Hogan going forward. The Patriots aren't going to waste Brandon Cooks by any means, but I would put him on about the same level he was on at the end of last year. Granted, near the end of the season, his production went down a little bit. Wide receiver one, okay, I'd say more of a 1/2, where if you have Brandon Cooks as one of your wide receivers with another clear focus, a clear target on an offense that is going to get a significant amount of targets and you don't worry from game to game. Maybe you pair up, going to think about, say, last year, that a Brandon Cooks in New England, if you could pair that up with, and I'm going to be realistic, not just say a Julio Jones or some obvious number one wide receiver. Let me see if I can find a situation, or an Antonio Brown would be too obvious there. Let me think. I'm going through random divisions here. Someone who is consistent. Yeah. Okay. Like, if you had Brandon Cooks and Doug Baldwin, I think you'd be very happy, right? Doug Baldwin doesn't fly off the page as a number one wide receiver, but we all know Doug Baldwin is consistently going to get targets, meaningful targets, from Russell Wilson in Seattle. The signing of Eddie Lacy doesn't change that either. So that's an example of – a guy you'd want to pair him with, where you have one guy who's part of a big offense and one guy who clearly is the feature wide receiver in another offense. Where's this Jimmy Garoppolo thing stand? Garoppolo is a luxury for the Patriots right now. But it would make sense for them to receive some value for Garoppolo, and I don't think they're going to settle for anything less than high value. So that's where we stand right now as it relates to Garoppolo. And while we're talking about quarterbacks, let me just offer a thought on Brock Osweiler that might be unique. I have no actual intimate knowledge of Brock Osweiler. I've heard the same things about what happened with him and Bill O'Brien. At the same time, look, Osweiler's contract is bad. Osweiler, as a starting quarterback, to me, is still valid. And what I mean by that is, I don't think Brock Osweiler by any means is done in the National Football League. And I do think there are many, many quarterbacks on NFL rosters right now who look a lot worse under center than he does. So just think about Osweiler. Remove the contract, all right? Remove the contract, and just think about some of his better games, all right? I know what the numbers say, but there's capability there with Osweiler. In the right situation for this year and maybe next, he's a good option as a number two. I don't understand the Steelers' infatuation with Landry Jones. Brock Osweiler is clearly better than Landry Jones. I don't know if Brock Osweiler is a good teammate or not. I didn't hear a lot of people bad-mouthing him in Denver. They were bad-mouthing him when he left. It seemed like they wanted him to be there. That lends itself for me to believe that Osweiler was a good teammate in Denver. But as a number two, this is someone where if you remove the contract, put him in the right situation, as a number two quarterback, I see that as a good situation for him, and not this, this cancer, this problem. I'm sure it's a huge contract, but Cleveland's already taken care of that. The contract now doesn't mean anything. Cleveland's not looking to trade the contract. They're willing to eat most of the contract, maybe up to half of it, and probably will need to eat even more of it. But I'd rather have Brock Osweiler as a number two with the right coaching staff, with the right situation, with a number one that is clearly a defined number one. Now, Brock might not want to be in another situation like that, like when he was behind in Peyton Manning. Well, understand that that might be good for you right now, and rather than just putting you under center somewhere right now where people are like, here we go. We're going to get one pick for every touchdown. But just more than anything else, I think Brock Osweiler has shown he can play in the league. He just can't play to the level of the free agent contract he signed. That's not his fault. That's the Houston Texans' fault. And I think he's capable of some decent games and needs the right coaching and also the right attitude. All right, enough on that. All right, so Isaiah Crowell is staying in Cleveland. Terrell Pryor is gone. It doesn't look like Brock Osweiler is part of the mix. So from a Cleveland standpoint, I'm not going to think that much more about Isaiah Crowell, and I owned him last year, and I used him. Early in the season. He clearly was a better back than Duke Johnson. He was okay. I don't think he was winning me any weeks. I would have liked to have gotten more out of him. But you know, Crowell was someone that, you know, if I had to, it was probably a number three type running back who would get number one or number two volume, just didn't do enough with it. I don't know that that's going to change. The Browns offensive line appears to be better, but it's still Cleveland. And as of this point, we have no idea what's going to happen in this passing game, and Terrell Pryor is gone. As far as Terrell Pryor signing that one-year deal with the Redskins, at least right now, it looks like he'll be taking passes from Kirk Cousins, and I would imagine Pryor is going to be extremely productive in Washington, especially with Garcon and also with DeSean Jackson out of the mix. With Pryor playing for a future contract, you may have Kirk Cousins playing for a future contract and Terrell Pryor playing for a future contract. And nothing necessarily dazzling. There's another team running back-wise that hasn't done anything to upgrade and could or should in the draft, the Washington Redskins. So Pryor is someone that I would say, yeah, that would be someone on my radar as a wide receiver two, or a very, very good option as a wide receiver three, at least right now. Let's see, who else do I – Jared Cook goes from Green Bay to Oakland. That's never good when you're leaving Aaron Rodgers. Cook really, really came on at the end of last year. Now he's kind of starting over with the Raiders. Granted, once they get Derek Carr back, a very capable quarterback who put up big numbers last year before he broke his leg. The Raiders seem to want to use the tight end. Just didn't really have a talent to play that position to the level that they wanted to use it to complement the wideouts they had. Still uncertainty in the running game at this point. So Cook, I think, slips a bit. You can't just say, well, look at what he did last year, and I want him as my primary tight end. No, I would lower your expectations a little bit just because he's leaving Aaron Rodgers and because he did those things at the end of the season when Jordy Nelson was out. Aaron likes to feed the hot hand, and we're not really sure how it's going to work out in Oakland. But I think he'll be he's worth a look. But I wouldn't think of him right now. If I'm in a must play tight end league, I can probably come up with 10 to 12 other tight ends I'd rather have than Jared Cook until further notice. Anything else from my list? Oh, Julius Thomas in Miami. Yeah, this one actually gets my attention a little bit. Julius Thomas left Denver, signed as a free agent in Jacksonville, and as I've been saying for years, that's where free agents go to get paid and then disappear. And that's pretty much what happened to Julius Thomas in Jacksonville. The fact that he's no longer there is very good for him. I still think this is the same player that was utilized very well in Denver prior to him taking the cash. And Adam Gase, I think, knows how to use him. What Jordan Cameron couldn't do for the Dolphins and what they wanted to get out of Sims, I think Julius Thomas is a better fit. We pretty much know what they're going to get out of Jarvis Landry. He's going to haul in a lot of targets, but he's not going to get in the end zone a ton. At this point, Devontae Parker is at best and not someone I would want to carry on a fantasy roster. Kenny Stills is sticking around. He can stretch the defense. He's a deep threat. He's very questionable hands. Not someone you can count on. This might be a nice spot for Julius Thomas, especially if Jay Ajayi is the clear focus of the offense and the focus of opposing defenses. Where the minute You think Thomas is blocking down on what is clearly a runoff tackle, or Thomas is chipping, and you release Thomas down the field, down the hash marks, or into the middle of the field, this could work out very well. I will pay attention to news on Julius Thomas, and I would consider rostering a Julius Thomas at the tight end position next season based on who's coaching the Miami Dolphins and how there really isn't I don't have a lot of negative things here on Julius Thomas. The fact that he got out of Jacksonville is a significant, significant positive. Remember, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is teed up at Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail. Let me tell you a little bit about the Florida Golf Trail. It is 7 golf courses. Now, 2 are private, the Bayou Club in Pinellas County and River Hills Country Club in Valrico. I'm very familiar with both, and I've played both. Now, if you are one of those golfers in the Tampa Bay area and you are interested in what private clubs have to offer, you can reach out to me personally at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com and just say, hey, how do I get a look at the Bayou Club? How do I get a look at River Hills Country Club? And I will put you in touch with the marketing people, and we'll get you that look. And maybe I'll even play with you, all right, if you want me to. So there's the private angle of the Florida Golf Trail. Then we have 5 public courses. The Preserve at Terra down in Sarasota, Bradenton. Then you have Bardmore, which is right across the street from Bayou Club. You have Landsbrook, where I'm hosting my next event, the Final Foursome, on April 1st. Northdale, greens that a number of years ago, they shut Northdale down. They redid the greens, and they've been insanely good ever since. And Northdale Golf Club is known for one thing. The greens are always good. And you know what? If you're a golf property and you're known for one thing more than anything else, that's what you want to be known for. Having great greens. And Northdale has them, just like Landsbrook. And then what's the other one I missed? Oh, Bloomingdale Golfers Club. Bloomingdale Golfers Club located not far from River Hills Country Club. Those are the courses that make up the Florida Golf Trail. Landsbrook Golf Club, again, find it online, landsbrook-golf.com, or call for tee time, 727-784-7333. Remember, you can sign up for the Final Foursome, my next golf tournament that I'm hosting. It's only $60 per player. And I have limited availability. You say, oh, we always hear about this limited availability. Well, I sold another foursome today. So now I have 3 foursomes left to sell and 3 other spots, whether it's a threesome, a twosome, and a single, 3 singles, you get the idea. That's what I have left. That's it. Landsberg Golf Club and the Florida Golf Trail, thank you for your support of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and for hosting the next event on the Todd Wright Tour. Again, for more information on the Todd Wright Tour events, go to joebucksfan.com/golf or just email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to the podcast, and we'll be back again next week at this time, unless there is something very, very significant in free agency or trade that will justify me opening the laptop and doing another one of these for you. Have a good one.